Mike, did anything of note happen at Tycoon Weekend? Like anything crazy or anything that you can recall?
Nah, just another weekend, you know. Honestly, nothing too crazy. Just a little run on the treadmill for real.
Yeah,
next day in the office, you know?
Yeah, it was just a normal weekend. All right, let's do the episode.
Buys breakfast.
What is up?
We got the menace in this bitch. This dude be extorting everybody, bro. He be extorting everything in the universe,
dude,
bro.
Dude, he threw me up against the wall when he got here. It's like, fucking parking should have been easier. I was like, geez, bro, I'm sorry.
Now you owe me 25K because I couldn't park. You feel me? We got the menace, Michael Ferguson in the building, man.
Michael J. Ferguson.
My bad. Hold on.
We got Michael J. Ferguson in the building.
Also known as 2Bit, man. A menace, man. 2Bit. What's up,
Francis, man? 2Bit Johnson.
Yeah. Francis 2Bit Johnson.
Yeah, we outside. What's good?
What's up? How's everything?
Everything's Gucci, man.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Joe, so many people have been asking to have you on.
Yeah, they've been
waiting.
Where's 2Bit? They've been waiting, man.
Yeah.
We got him. It was hard to nail him down, but we got him.
I'm in.
What's up, bro? So what's been up? What have you been up to?
Just grinding, man.
Love that.
I mean, trying to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? I'll be shooting a movie in November.
Nice.
Hell yeah, fire.
I love that. Can you say anything about it yet or just kind of?
I could say who I'm shooting it with. Preston Whitmore.
Ooh, nice.
He wrote and directed This Christmas.
Nice.
Fire.
So that's going to be fun.
I love that, bro.
What kind of movie is it? Like, oh, you can't
talk. I can't really talk too much about it, but it's going to be good.
Fine.
It's going to be good. Trust me.
I love that, bro. I love that, bro. So let's get into a little bit of the power verse and then we'll go from there. So I want to hear the story because I know you have a crazy story. Were you an extra at the beginning?
Yeah,
you were
background
actor?
Central casting, yes.
That's
shout out to Ann.
Crazy to think about.
Yes, bro.
Yeah.
Please, do you know the entire?
I don't really know the entire story.
Yeah.
I still don't really know the full story. So
please, I'm gonna sit here just like.
So long story short, God bless me. So it was a time where I'm from Lawton, Queens. You know what I'm saying? So like this whole power universe is like very familiar to me.
Right.
And so it was like a whole time, it was a whole point where I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life. Cause you know, I had one foot in the streets and then one foot trying to do the right thing. So then I saw that a lot of my friends were getting caught up in a lot of crazy situations.
Yeah.
So I prayed to God and I'm like, just please show me my purpose and my passion so that way I could do the right thing,
right,
opposed to, like, you know what I'm saying, doing 100 years or getting killed, like, extremely early.
Mm-hmm.
So,
facts.
At the time, I was going to this community college called Nassau Community College, and then in order to graduate, I had to take an acting class. I took the acting class, and I loved it. I fell in love immediately. So then I'm like, yo, I don't know how to get into acting, but I need to be an actor.
Mm.
So then I started. That's when I started as the actual central casting.
Right. So specifically, what did you love about acting when you took that class? I'm curious.
So what I loved about it was, so you got to remember, like I had one foot in the streets.
Right.
So everybody, like, I'm really Michael J. Ferguson, but everybody in my hood know me as Mike Diesel. So like, the vulnerability.
Right.
So like in the streets, you can't be vulnerable. But in the industry and in the acting, it's all about being vulnerable. Like you gotta be
right.
Not in a weak way, but like that gives you strength.
You gotta be open.
Yeah, exactly.
Type of shit. Like,
but in the streets, not like that. If you're vulnerable, that's a weakness. People will get you if you're vulnerable.
I love
so
that.
That's,
bro.
But that was that's why I was like, I felt some type of way before taking the class. I'm like, yo, if they laugh at me, if I'm whack, it's gonna be lit. So but then I was good. I was Gucci. Like they loved it. So I was like, oh, this is it. This is what I need to be because it will be a weakness, and now it's your strength.
Right.
So I thought that was dope.
Yeah. That's some people really succeed in acting when they're just truly themselves. Because a lot of people like to be other characters, like character actors. But if some people are just so themselves it brings a character because you are in a way like you have a persona about you that's like. It's very intriguing and engaging. So you just being Mike J. Ferguson with the character and with the lines, it's automatically going to be interesting.
Right.
So
exactly,
I think that's why people really probably fucked with you and responded to you.
Yeah, I don't know. Acting is so mysterious. It's like a whole mystique to it. I don't understand it at all. I'm not going to pretend I do.
Right. You know? Same. But that's what's interesting about it. I don't think anyone really does.
That's the thing with acting. Like, it's always something new to learn about this shit.
Yeah,
no matter how much you think you know, there's a day where you're going to learn some shit. You're like, word? Like, it's endless things to learn about this profession. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. So you signed up with Central Casting.
Oh, sorry. So I signed up with Central Casting, and I was an extra for like a year. But you know what's crazy? It probably doesn't mean anything, but the very first show I ever was an extra on, it was called Believe. Mm-hmm. So to me, I'm like, all right, so this means you gotta believe, you gotta keep going. Then the second show was Power as an extra, season one.
Do you remember your first scene?
In Power? Yeah. It was in a club scene. I could show you in episode one. You could see my silhouette. I would have to show you though, but you could see my silhouette.
No way.
When Ghost met Angela. And when she had the red dress on, I could show you my silhouette, and you'd be like, no way. I could show you.
The fans probably don't even know that.
Because everybody else was dancing to the beat. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, not dancing to the beat. Everybody else was dancing, and there's no beat. Because you know how they play the music, and then they cut it.
Let's explain that to the audience. So when you're doing a club scene, and there's music, and you're like, it's really loud, there's actually no music
at all. They play music for like 10 seconds before they say action. So everybody kind of gets a feel of the other vibe, and then they just stop
they
the music
turn it off.
And then everybody just got to say their line.
Everyone's acting like they have to keep dancing and everything.
That shit is crazy. Like, I remember we were doing that shit during the fucking the frat house scene. Right. I'm like, bro, this shit is so weird.
But the reason they do that is because they need to get the actors, because obviously there's a conversation while in the club. So you also have to pretend like it's loud in there. Hey, Rico, is we gonna do this?
While there's literally nobody talking in the background. Yeah, y'all only two people talking, but y'all still gotta scream like y'all talking over the music.
And that day was probably like a 15-hour day. So all the extra the girls, they had the heels on and everything, so they're ready to leave.
Yeah, 15 hours in heels is crazy.
Yeah. So it was a long day. They cut the music. Everybody's dancing to the music. I mean, everybody's dancing to the pretend music.
Yeah.
And I was the only one not dancing and just studying. I'm like, I'm trying to learn. Like, you know what I'm saying? I had a whole different mindset opposed to everybody else.
That's such a cool Easter egg. Like, two-bit first episode is just like this. That's crazy.
Nah, you gotta see that.
You will not believe. You'd be like, get the fuck out.
we'll post that on The Crew Has It Instagram this episode comes out.
I'll be posting that clip for sure.
We're going to take a quick break from the episode. Michael couldn't do this ad read because he's all over the place. We're going to talk to you about our friends at Vincero Collective. Look at these watches. These watches are stylish, affordable. They look fresh. They're great quality.
I got to take a little link off.
I love these watches. Sometimes, you know, I go to the club and I got my Rolly on. Sometimes I take it off and I'm like, I want the Vincero on tonight. Maybe Vincero looking fine.
Now I got to look a little swagged out. It's a lifestyle brand out of San Diego, so they don't just stop at them. You know what I'm saying? They make glasses, sunglasses, they make jewelry. So what's their motto, G?
Their motto is three words. Stylish, quality, and versatility, baby. That means you can wear that anywhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. And you're going to look fly.
Whether you're going to the club, whether you're going to a little basketball game, whether you're going to a little meeting.
Listen, you know how important a watch is to finish the whole fit.
Yeah, you don't got to fit on unless you throw a watch on that.
The watch makes the fit. Make sure you check out our boys at Vincero Collective.
But the glasses, now we got to talk about the glasses because, you know, I don't go nowhere without my glasses. One, because I'm blind, and two, because I just look cool. These glasses are polarized with 100% UV protection.
5-year guarantee. There's a 5-year guarantee if you want to trade something out, swap something out, or return.
And there's a 365-day return policy as well. Got you covered.
We got you covered. Make sure you don't lack 20% off free shipping promo code CREW. Say that
site-wide,
again, Mike.
Site-wide.
Site-wide, baby.
The whole entire website, 20% off. Just make sure you use the code CREW and you get free shipping.
www.vincerocollective.com promo code CREW.
Listen, this is how you spell it in case y'all don't know. V-I-N-C-E-R-O. Yes.
Back to the episode. So you do that first episode, then what's next? Like, is there a next step in the Power Universe? Are there any other scenes that you were in that you remember?
I did another episode. I did a few episodes, because once you're in Central Casting, it's like a whole system and everything.
Right.
So they keep calling you back, especially if you show up on time and you do what you're supposed to do. They keep calling you back. You're easy to work with. They keep calling you back. So then it was like a whole year. So I started in November, like the end of November 2013. So then by early November 2014, that's when I got the recurring role with Rotimi with Dre in the Rib Shack.
Nice. And did you read for it or they just offered it to you?
Oh, so all right. So I was an extra at first. I didn't read for it. Right. I did read for it, but I was an extra at first.
Right. Mm.
So this is a story that Courtney told me. She said that they were looking for an actor to play Too Big, but for you know, I guess it's because it's LA. A bunch of people from LA were auditioning, but you know they don't got the New York swag.
They don't got that New York authenticity.
So like, yeah, exactly. Like, you can't. Like, yeah, you can't fake that.
It's in you, not on you.
That's a fact. It's what it is. But So they couldn't pull it off. So then they had the idea, like, yo, let's just give the people, the extras that were in the shot, an opportunity. So then we read for it, and I wound up getting it.
Do you remember the audition scene?
Yeah, it was one line. this is the fucked up part, right? So I finally got the line because I was trying to get in. I wasn't even in the union at that point. So I got, but then I was an extra. I was a featured extra for 3 episodes. So that got me in the union. And then when I got that one line, that's another way to get in the union. So then I finally got the line. I'm telling everybody, my family, my friends, like, yo, I'm being episode 205. It was episode 205 when Tommy comes to the Rib Shack and now he becomes the connect. So then the editor cut the scene out. I mean, cut the line out.
Damn.
Yeah, so I'm watching it, and I'm watching it to the end, like, yo.
Where my line at?
What the fuck?
Like, where the fuck do I say the line?
Yeah, I'm like, yo. And I told everybody, and they all watched. So from that point, I said, I'll never tell people. Like, you know what I'm saying? I just let them watch.
Wait, what was the line?
He asked about Brock. He asked about, Tupac asked about, he asked Dre about something, and Dre lied to him.
Yeah.
But I see why they cut it out because it helped push the story further the next season.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then and then during season 3, I finally got my line and I was cool and I didn't tell everybody and they were calling me telling me all the same. So I said,
yeah, I ain't doing the same shit as last time.
Yeah. So that's what I'm like, yo, I'm not talking about it. Let them see. Let me just work.
So what was your first like big day on set where you were like, okay, I have a lot now. I'm starting to get a bigger workload. People are starting to know like who Tubit is. Like, when did you see that change?
That was during season 6.
Yeah.
Everything changed during season 6. Yeah. But let me say this, like during season 2, I felt like that. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I was just an extra. Cause you gotta believe. You gotta really
100%.
You gotta believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is a funny story because there were a bunch of people. Like, you know, we shot the Rib Shack. The Rib Shack is right there.
Yeah.
Where's it at? Oh my God. It's in Brooklyn. Nah, it's in Brooklyn. It's in Brooklyn.
Right.
It's like it's right by Fulton Street. But I think I forgot the cross street, but we were shooting there. So it's like an apartment building right across the street. So everybody was lined up. They had the spotlight on and everything. So we're walking to the set because, you know, the extras got to get there first. Mm-hmm. So we walk into the set and I'm just imagining like, yo, they're all here to see me. Mm-hmm. They're all hyped to see me. So I'm really imagining that. And then 50 comes out and I'm like, oh, shit, he fucked the whole shit up because it threw me off. And I'm like, they're here for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when he left, I was able to put it back on me. Right. But I was like, yo, that's why they were really here.
Right.
But I felt like that was like the biggest day on set for me.
Mm. Right.
But as far as like in reality, like other people reacted, it was like during season 6. I feel like the episode where we killed Dre. And that was on my birthday.
That was a crazy
And that was always a dream of mine to work on my birthday. Mm. My birthday's April 1st. So I'm like, yo, and it was crazy because Omari just won an Image Award. Mm-hmm. Damn, that was a fucked up weekend though because we lost Nipsey that weekend. So like, Omari won the Image Award Saturday night. Mm-hmm. We lost Nipsey Sunday. And then I was out here and then we had to fly back to New York and we were filming Monday. And Monday was my birthday, I think. It was either Monday or Tuesday. No, it was Monday. We lost Nipsey the 31st, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
So, yeah.
That's a crazy
day. So it was just fucked up.
To be an actor, you have to have some sort of delusion in your brain.
Right.
Because
yeah.
who thinks they're gonna go to Hollywood or go this and right, be right, and right. be on a show and right, be this right, like right. there are tens of millions and millions and millions of people who want to do this. It's the most competitive right. business in the world.
The most competitive.
So you gotta have that thing in your head to go, they're here for me, motherfucker. Like mm-hmm. you have to or you're not gonna make
you're
it.
You're not gonna make it. You gotta
manifest that so much.
You gotta manifest that shit. Put it in the air, man. You gotta put it in the air. And like you said, you gotta believe, bro.
It's so my bad. Go ahead.
Nah, I was just saying for like everybody that's watching that want to be a, like that's an aspiring actor. Like he said, he started as an extra background.
Extra.
You know what I'm saying?
And I didn't even know.
He didn't even know. And then he just kept on doing what he was doing. He kept on being himself. And that's what gets you the furthest, being yourself.
Central
you
gotta be yourself. Central casting is gonna get so many sign-ups after this. Yo. They're like, wait, that happens?
They go like, what?
Central casting is the wave.
Yeah, man.
Because it puts you on set. So right. even though you're not the principal actor, like right. you still get to learn.
And
you
experience.
To, yeah, you get to meet people. Like, it's a good experience.
But like he said, you gotta be on time. Word? You gotta, like, you know what I'm saying? You gotta be on time. You gotta do everything right so they call you back. Because if you're not on time, you
gotta be on time.
Doing bullshit, they're not gonna call right. you back.
My first time on set ever was background work as well. It was a Woody Allen movie in Rhode Island. And then I did an Ansel Elgort movie that also was filmed in Rhode Island. It was Joaquin Phoenix and Emma Stone. They were the leads of the Woody Allen movie. And I remember seeing Joaquin and Emma work. And I was like, it blew my mind. It was like a fair, like a county fair scene. I rode a Ferris wheel for like 5 hours. Because you don't know. Exactly. It's my first time on set. I'm like, I'll be on the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, you don't know.
And then they're like, okay, cool. Joaquin's doing 37 takes. I'm like, yeah.
Exactly, yo.
Damn, Ferris wheel for 5 hours. Oh, man.
But the extra is trash.
The second I saw the set, and I always loved acting and performing and doing theater and doing improv. But the second I saw the movie set, there was something so magical about it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what I want to do
gotta
for
the
rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be anywhere else but here. And every time I'm not here, I just want to be back here.
Yeah, I hate rapping. Right. Like, you know, sometimes after we rap, they be like, yo, we about to go do this, we about to go to this club. Da, da, da. I'm like, nah, I just want to be on set. Right. Like, I like the 18-hour days. Like,
right. I love it too. I love night shoots. I love it all.
Night shoots.
We're going to take a quick second from the episode and we're going to talk to you about our friends at True Classic Tees.
The best t-shirts in the business. See, my thing about these t-shirts, they fit you in the right places. You know what I'm saying? They fit in the right places. They don't get too bunched up around the stomach.
That's the best part, because when they bunch up around the stomach, like, oh my God, bro, I hate that.
So I've been having to hit the gym a little heavier than usual, you know what I'm saying? Because the other t-shirts have been showing my little pudge, you know? I got
you're
a little
good, though, bro.
Belly.
You're good, though, bro.
I got a little beer belly. That's why I've been in Equinox. That's why I look a little good. But True Classics is always going to get me right, no matter if I'm going to Equinox or not. We don't just stop at t-shirts when it comes to True Classics, though.
Nope.
They got all the men's essentials. Boxers, polos, tank tops.
Hats.
You got hats. Come on, like, they don't stop at just t-shirts.
Truckers are in right now, baby. Truckers are in.
Truckers are the wave. So go get you one.
These tees are moisture wicking. They prevent BO. Wear this to the club. Wear this to the club. You don't want to be in the club with that dirty dude who smells. You don't want to be next to the guy that smells at the club.
Yeah.
Make sure you
don't want to be the guy that smells in the club either.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to be next to him. You don't want to be him. True Classics. Oh, and we got options for the big and tall. You know what I'm saying? If you like 7'3", we still got t-shirts, you know, elongated fit. You know what I'm saying? You can rock it.
You got a little extra, you know, you got a little extra in the stomach. You know, True Classic Tees got you covered. They also got people covered who are like 4'1", like me. You know what I'm saying?
Now, look, you can update your wardrobe. 25% off trueclassic.com/crew.
Crew? Wait, 25%
off? 25%, man. That's a good
25% off trueclassic.com. Use the promo code crew.
If you spend a little more than $100, you get free shipping.
Free shipping. Make sure you go to trueclassic.com/crew.
Crew.
Back to the episode.
It's a gift and a curse because for some reason, I knock my scenes out so fast, and I hate leaving.
Right.
Mm. I hate leaving. Right. I'm like, yo,
I want to be here there all day.
Yeah, let me do it again.
Let me get one more.
Like, no, we got it. We go. Yeah, we got it.
Right. I was turning around. You're like, damn.
Yeah,
turn around.
How was that scene when you did kill when you killed Dre? Was that
That shit is crazy. That whole
was that a crazy day?
That was a crazy day. That shit. That scene was.
Can you run us through that day? Because
yeah, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
I love this motherfucker.
Absolutely.
I love this motherfucker.
Yo. That's it. Hold on. Let me take a little.
He said, let me get ready. Hold on. Let me put y'all on real quick.
Because it was fucked up because, you know, me and Rotimi are friends.
Right.
So, like.
I love him, side note. Dude,
yeah, he's cool.
The man, bro.
Yeah, he's cool.
Dude,
so I felt bad about it, but 2Bit doesn't give a fuck.
Right. Mm-hmm.
2Bit, come on.
Menace.
Dre's a rat. Dre killed Brock, and he lied to 2Bit about killing Brock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So 2Bit gave Dre a chance to, like. So when you gotta remember, Kanan manipulated Dre into killing Brock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So once Kanan, and then Kanan started trying to manipulate 2Bit into killing Dre. So once Kanan started manipulating 2Bit, now 2Bit is starting to understand, like, yo, you let an outsider come in on our thing, because we didn't have no big homies.
Right.
And Kanan protected Dre in jail because Dre was soft, so he needed help. So instead of holding it down, but he's fronting to us, like me, Brock, and the rest of the gang, he's fronting to us like, yo, he's holding it down, and he just met a connect in jail. But in reality, he's not built like that. Mm-hmm. He went to jail, and he saw how real shit get, and Kanan saw something in him, though. Because Dre, even though he's soft, he's still smart. He's like a manipulator. He's still smart. He can make moves.
That nigga stayed alive for him.
Yeah, that's why he survived. Yeah. Right, that's what
he's saying. Good. Yeah. He's good. Yeah. Nah, he's good. But he's still soft, though.
Mm.
He's like, you could be good, but if you're soft...
It's over.
once you start coming, like you start running into the apes,
right,
it's going to get crazy.
Right.
Mm. So he survived, and he was finessing us, making us think one thing. But then, you know, the truth always comes to the light. Like, you can't hide the truth. So, like, he was finessing us, and then he got exposed. So now but 2Bit is such a good dude. He's like, yo, just keep it real with me. Because maybe, all three of us are best friends, and one of y'all kill each other, right? God forbid. But one of y'all kill each other, hypothetically. And then it's like, all right. Why did you do it, though? If you got a real reason, then we can understand that and move forward.
Right.
But he's lying, like, yo, I didn't kill him. So then it's like, oh, all right. And then Kanan is manipulating it.
Right.
So now he's putting ideas in 2Bit's head, like, yo, see? Like, he's showing him, like, yo, this, like, he's sus. Mm. Like, he's something wrong with, like,
right.
You need to, you know what I mean, watch him. So then, because Kanan is dope, too. Kanan, like, he gotta be the most manipulative character on the show.
One of the best characters.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that one character of my favorites. Was,
right.
One of my favorites.
Hell yeah.
So, because everybody thinks that 2Bit is under Tommy, and it's like, nah, Tommy's just a connect.
Right.
Mm. 2Bit is not under Tommy. And I just posted it on my Instagram the other day because I think it was like yesterday or the day before that, but it's showing a deal that they cut right after Kanan got killed, because mm-hmm. 2Bit came to Tommy like, yo, Kanan told me if something happened to him, to come holler at you, because you got the drugs and no people. I got the people and no drugs. I got the gang. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody rocking with me.
Right.
But you got you to connect, but we're not under you. Like, you know what I'm saying? We don't need... We only need you to get money, but we there's no loyalty. Not loyalty, but there's no... If you fuck around, it'll get crazy for you too.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But you're just a plug. So, Kanan was super manipulative, got 2Bit to go at Dre, and then once Dre ratted, because then remember, 2Bit found out Dre turned into a rat.
Yep.
It was up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was up.
It was up after that. Like, yo, we gotta get you. So that is the buildup to the whole situation. So artistically, it felt really good, because I felt like, or 2Bit felt like he was avenging Brock.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I finally got, like, that's my homie. You, like, you know what I'm saying? Styles P got a crazy line that I love. He said, I hold it down like my man's gone. But basically, like, yo, if you kill one of my mans, I'm going to get you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Get back, gang.
I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to get you.
Right.
And then when I get you, I feel like I owe that to my man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, yo, I got him.
Right.
We good. So I feel like for Brock, We got them. You know what I'm saying?
Good vengeance, sir. Good vengeance.
We got them. We set them on fire. We got
them. that was crazy, yeah, bro.
Like, you know what a crazy scene. What did they do for like pyrotechnics?
Yeah, for the
that
fire.
That was crazy. So they had the stuntman. Stuntman was mad cool.
It was either Rory.
They really set
up.
What was Rory
or Chaz?
Chaz was like the head of it, yeah. But he hired somebody. And I forgot, I can't think of the dude's name. He was cool, though. They really set him on fire, and it was crazy.
Did they?
Did he have, like, he had, like, a special suit on?
Yeah, he had a special suit, everything. Yo. He was really on fire, though. And you got to remember,
he was really
when you're
on fire
it's not just the fact that you're burning. You can't breathe. Right. You know, fire.
The oxygen.
Yeah. Right. So it's like he had to endure that. So it was only for, like, four or five seconds. And then they always rushed and
so what they do, put blankets on them?
Yep, everything.
Damn.
Hit them with the fire extinguisher with everything, yeah.
Yo, that was a crazy ass experience on set
that was
day,
lit.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was lit.
Who directed that episode?
I would love to be there.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember. I could see his face. Oh my God. He directed the episode. Oh my God, I cannot think of his name, but he directed the episode where it's Tommy and 2-Bit in the ambulance, and then they see ghosts. And Ghost shoots up the ambulance. He directed that episode too. Kieran. That's his first name for sure. But I can't think his last name.
I forgot.
He's good though.
Yeah.
And he had me in that vibe, like for that. Because I remember we shot it right there in Steiner, and he said something to me before we did it, but that's what put me in a vibe of. It made it deeper. Pause. But it made it like, yo. This is much more than just us setting you on fire. Like, this means something.
It's like Brock type shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So as an actor, what's your process? Like, do you have a specific thing? Like, do you have a journal where you write stuff down? Like,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
If you don't want to give anything away, like, that's as your process as an actor, because people like
real.
To hear. Everyone's different.
I'll give the process. So basically, I learned this from Samuel L. Jackson, just from watching it on YouTube. But he said he always kept a journal for his characters. So way before I had the recurring role. No. It was when I got the recurring role as 2-Bit in season 2. But I started to like create a journal for 2-Bit. Even though it was like no lines.
Right.
I didn't know.
So you were doing this when you were background?
Yes.
Love
no,
that.
No, not background. It's recurring.
Okay. Oh, so then when you got the
recurring. But it's just not a big role. Right. It's right. I just
didn't know if you were recurring or background.
Yeah, recurring. Yeah. It's like we don't know what's gonna happen with 2-Bit. Like, 2-Bit was never supposed to be everything he turned into. Yeah. It just happened.
Yeah, recurring is just multiple episodes. There's no like series regular deal.
Like, it's not like guest star. Right. Guest star is different. When you're a guest star,
one episode.
You got like three. I think you get at least 3 episodes, like an arc. It's a whole story arc.
Well, guest star is one episode. A recurring is multiple episodes.
Right.
A co-star is like what I started off like one scene in one episode.
Right.
A guest star is like a full kind of like.
But guest star is the wave. If you're not serious regular on TV on TV shows, if you're not serious regular, you want to be a guest star.
Right. Right. Yeah, well, but recurring, you can do multiple episodes and you can do stuff on other shows too. So
yeah, that's true too.
But
there's
a lot of stuff changing right now in the industry where SAG just.
You could be on other shows and stuff now.
So everything's always changing, which is good. But yeah, it's crazy how it all kind of used to be.
Yeah. The whole world just changed.
Writing a journal as a recurring before anything.
Oh yeah,
that's how you really manifest a character though. Like even when you know you don't have a huge body of work, you wanna create your own. You wanna create your character. Like even if they don't pick up on the creation shit.
Facts.
So what was in the journal specifically? Like, do you remember?
Also, like, so this was like 2014, 2015 maybe. So that's when Snapchat was lit. So what I used to do, I used to write the journal, but I used to imagine it as me doing a Snapchat. But I used to imagine it like, yo, all right, I'm doing a Snapchat. He would have a Snapchat running around in the hood. On Snapchat, but I would write the journal like that.
Right.
So like it's like little things like that that so if you ask about the process and everything. So but as far as the process, I have a technique for getting in the character, but I think you got to do whatever works for you. Like
everyone's different.
Like if you do method and you really gotta, because they said Omari when he went to jail. I think it was season 3 that he really stayed in the jail.
Season 4?
I think
Where he was in jail for a good amount of, I think it was.
With Charlie Murphy. Remember Charlie Murphy?
Yeah, I think that was four. It was four or five. It was four, yeah.
That was a crazy season.
That was lit.
But what they said, yeah.
But they said that he went, like he really stayed in the jail and he really could help him get in the character because he does methods. So he helped him get in the character.
Like overnight?
Yeah. So I understand that.
Like at Steiner.
I don't know if it was at Steiner, but wherever. Because remember, we filmed that.
We would go from Steiner to Queens Courthouse.
We never went to Rikers.
Right.
Yeah.
Rikers, but.
Yeah, we filmed at that same jail when we did, when Woody got his face thrown up against the wall with.
His pops.
Wow, that's crazy.
I would do that, though. I would do that. Yeah. I would spend the night.
So he spent the night in jail.
I think so. That's what I heard.
Tough. But, he was locked in.
Yeah, I would do that. I understand it.
That's tough.
I understand it because you want to get that vibe.
Right. It's so weird because I actually, I remember seeing those scenes of Omari in the jail and being like, he was great the whole series, but there were some scenes in that, like when he broke, that guy's hand that tried to grab his bread.
That's my boy G.
Bro, he literally, Javai, like, everything was so subtle and perfect.
Yeah,
I'm like,
bro.
He's locked in. Right.
Nah, he was in. Yeah,
Ghost in Jail was a different character.
He was moving crazy. He was locked in for sure.
That insane. Shit was fire. So you do Power. When do you feel like your life changed? Like, are people, like, noticing you on the
season
street?
Season six. That's right before the pandemic, which is the pandemic just threw everything off. But
yeah.
Right before the pandemic, that's when it was super lit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I did one hosting, and then the pandemic happened.
Damn!
So I did a hosting for the Super Bowl. Flo Rida flew me out to Florida to do the hosting. And then in March, that's when we filmed season one for y'all joint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And in March, like, I think we had to shoot, like, March. It was, like, March 9th or, like, March 3rd. Mm-hmm. It was like, somewhere around then. And then March 15th, they declared it.
Yep.
Damn.
And I flew right back to L.A.
Yo, like, when they told us that, I was like, we stopped. What?
I know,
we was on episode 8, bro. Yeah, it was two episodes away from being done with the season.
Lit,
I'm like, no way we shutting down right
now. Bro, it was lit.
Shut down for 6 months, bro.
I literally remember going to the table read because there was a table read for 8.
Mm.
And then everyone was like, it was quiet in Steiner. Everyone was like, and then all of us, like, it was just like mad eerie. The next day was the day the NBA shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I was at work with, I had a scene with Effie,
mm-hmm.
Alex. And they at noon, Lionsgate had a meeting. They shut us completely down.
I was literally getting ready to come to set that day.
We had a scene later that day.
I was getting ready to come to set that day. Then they called me and said, we're shutting down due to blah, blah, blah. I said, what?
But they only said 1 week. They only said 1 week break.
Yeah, no.
And then a week turned into a month. And it's all of a sudden, I called my team. And they're like, right.
A week turned into 6 months. Yeah. I'm like, bro, how are we taking this long of a break?
You want to know what's so funny is that before the pandemic, because I was in New York, it was cold. I was inside and I wasn't tan. We went to L.A. I gained 30 pounds from lifting. I was tan. My hair was blonde. I leave the door. Room. I come back post COVID and Braden is fucking shredded with his tan with blonde hair.
Bro, that shit is
they did a funny. Good job color correcting it, but like you can clearly see there's a difference. It's fucking hilarious.
He was mad swole compared to the two when
they're like, where did Braden go? Yeah. Steroid factory? Like,
but yeah, that shit was crazy.
Yeah, the continuity is so important, and that's something you gotta watch out for. You can't get too heavy, you can't get too skinny. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So when did you hear that you were gonna be in Ghost, and what was that call like?
So for season 6, I remember the last episode I did was with Anthony Hemingway. It was 6:15.
Shout out Ant, man.
He's the best.
Ant the man. He's a beast. And it's crazy because I don't really do improv. Like, I wasn't confident in doing improv, but we shot a bunch of takes. That's when Monique, what's her character's name?
Blanca.
That's when she had the black eye from, remember, Dre punched in the face.
Yo, Dre rocked her shit.
I remember that.
He just caught her, punched her in the face. And so she had the black eye. So then she came to the jail and asked me some questions. And I threw up, like, we shot the scene a few times. Then he's like, yo, just do whatever you feel. And then I threw a peace sign, and that shit turned into a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? And I was like, what? Right.
But it's because of him, because, like, yo.
That's why I love directors that always, like, they give you a few takes, they get what they want, and then they be like, you know, this take is for you. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Right.
And then that end up being the take that they use, because it's, like, the most natural.
It's like you're just free.
Yeah, I love
it. But, so... That was season six, and then because the character in Power, if you don't die, they could bring you back 10 years,
right?
In 10 years, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you don't know, you just gotta be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, all right, Tariq is about to be lit, like really lit, and then Two-Bit might be like he could be in that world, like, but nobody knows because. Y'all remember Carmi or no?
Yeah.
All right, so Carmi was saying that he wanted Power, this is before they start doing it, but he wanted Power to be like Star Wars and like Marvel, like the whole universe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we was at Catch. Now we was at Catch. We was at Noble. We were at Noble one time, and he was just telling me about it. I'm like, yo, that would be lit. Like, you know what I mean? That would be
right,
lit.
Right.
So I knew it would be I knew a universe was coming.
Right.
Mm.
So I'm like, yo, as long as 2-Bit is still alive.
He going to be part of the universe.
Yeah, right. He could be in the universe. Mm-hmm. I knew it was coming, and then when they hit me, you know, you get the offer, and like, all right, let's get busy,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was lit,
right?
Mm-hmm. That shit was mad for me.
Hell yeah!
What
2-Bit came and
shit? Yeah, I love working with y'all. Like, I felt so bad.
That shit was lit. I said, nah, go for that shit, bro.
Yeah,
do what you gotta
do.
That shit was lit.
Yo, I love working with you. Like, yo, the shit be fire.
Hell yeah! Bro.
But I know, 2-Bit. Once I get in the character, because I gotta get in that zone. Once I get in that zone, he's who he is.
No friends.
No friends.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Right.
But I have to really get there. Once I get there, it's like I don't see anything. I'll just be like
right.
in that zone.
Tunnel vision.
And this shit feels so real to me.
Bro, it looks real. So you are locked the fuck in, bro. Like, you look angry. You look pissed off. Like, and I know you. You're like a fucking fun, good dude.
I
would have
heard a fly.
I'm telling you, bro.
I would have heard a fly. Yo.
Right. You're locked in.
That's the best part about it. Because, right. like, and that's the thing that Courtney says. Like, the thing that makes, like, everybody so great on Power is, like, everyone is so completely different than the character that they
Facts.
Play. Like,
right.
in real life.
And Courtney's a genius.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody is so completely different than their characters that they portray in the show. So it's just like, it's just such a contrast switch when you actually get locked into that character. It's
right.
Like,
and Courtney is a genius because she's like, she's brilliant because she can write the character to, like, she, like, that's why I love the table reads.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the table reads, they assess, like, even though we think it's for us,
mm-hmm.
we can add our lines
right.
and see if it works. But they're just assessing us and just trying to see, all right, I hear how they're saying it. How can I make it better?
Mm-hmm.
And I might say a line one way, you might say a line one way, and then she'll make the adjustment so that it comes out like you said mm-hmm. it. And then still give you the freedom to say it on the day.
Right, that's
like, you know what I'm saying?
She's elite at that. Like, she knows how to write a character to, like, geared towards the person that's right, portraying.
She knows these characters better than anything.
Yeah,
anything.
Bro.
Like, even I remember, like, season two, there was a script that came out and there was a line from Braden. I was like, he would never say this.
Mm.
And I don't remember what episode, but I called Courtney and I remember, like, being like, hey, this page. And she goes, I know exactly which line you're talking about.
Yeah,
you would never
say
that.
She's locked in.
She just knows, mm-hmm. like, instantly. She knows these characters.
In.
Like,
it's
insane.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
There's nobody like her, bro.
It's scary,
that's a fact.
Bro.
So when the season six scripts were coming out, were you like, is 2-Bit alive? Is 2-Bit alive? Or were you like, I'm confident to know that he's going to be in Ghost? Like, or be a part of the universe? Did you think you were going to die?
Yeah, I thought I was gonna die. I didn't know because, like I said, 2-Bit was never.
right.
Like, yo, 2-Bit is crazy. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I didn't know what was gonna happen. And then there was a point where I forgot who said it, but somebody they said it. They brought it. Like, there was a. So you see how Spanky starts snitching?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was an option where 2-Bit might snitch with Spanky.
Ooh.
And I was like, nah, we're not doing that.
We can't do that.
Nah. It's not even about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, if you're an actor, you play whatever role. But,
yeah, nah, but
it's like, yo, I know the streets. And it's like, yo, everybody's not a snitch on the streets. Because
right.
on the show, most of the, Ghost is a rat. Everybody's a rat for the most part. Tommy's the only one that's not a rat. Yeah, but everybody they work with.
They do what they gotta do to get ahead. And if it means ratting, they gonna rat.
And shout out the character Tommy.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. We outside. Hold on.
One of the best characters on TV.
One of my favorites.
Go on,
so
Mike.
Hold on. Let's keep it real. Tommy was smoke braiding. Let's keep it real.
Maybe right now.
I don't know about real life. Maybe in the show, Tommy's smoking break. Keep it real.
Maybe right now, we'll see what happens. Go on.
Oh, text him. All right, say less. But
he was like, everybody in the show was ratting.
Oh, yeah, but everybody in the show was ratting.
Right.
So it's not that it wouldn't make sense, because, yo, life is real, bro. Mm-hmm. But it's like, yo, I felt like 2Bit was, because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I'm not going to snitch until you're in that situation. You're looking at 100 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, it gets real, bro. Mm-hmm. You in jail. Nobody sending you money. Nobody calling, you can't call nobody. They forgot about you. And you was just a man on the streets.
Right.
Bro, it gets
life
dark.
Changed like that.
Yeah, it gets dark. Like, you really need help. Because one of my cousins, he just came home. He did like, I think he did like 20. But at first they tried to hit him with like 70 or some crazy. But it was just like, it was just my uncle and myself visiting him.
Mm.
And we helped him through the bid. But it's just like, yo, it could get
it's crazy.
It's crazy
how it's only you two visiting
him. Exactly.
And when he was out, it was probably 20, 30 motherfuckers
on him. His friends forgot about
him,
everything. So I always had that. Like I saw that. Like we used to go to, Rikers. We used to go to Greenhaven. And a couple other jails, and then Sing Sing was easy because that was like only 40 minutes away. So when we would go see him on Sing Sing, it was easy. Mm-hmm. But because everybody's not gonna rat, I felt like, yo, come on, it gotta be like, I felt like it would be disrespectful to like the streets if everybody's a rat. It's at least one person.
It gotta
maybe
be at least one or two real.
Yeah. That's just not gonna rat.
And this wouldn't make sense for
that
the 2Bit character. Because that's everything that he stood for.
Exactly. Yeah, but he turned into that.
Right.
But go ahead.
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, that's everything. That's the 2Bit character, like, very similar to Braden, where, like,
right.
They could do some wrong shit. They could fuck up. They could not be smart.
I like Braden,
but they don't rat. You know, like that's
but
like,
hold on, but Braden's not from the hood.
Right. But I just mean that's like kind of like what's similar is like, they could.
No, I know they are similar.
The
but
loyalty.
I'm just saying the difference is because Britain's not from the hood. Even he could be the most. He could be gangster on his shit, but it's certain shit you learn in the hood when you're coming up that you can't get from anywhere else. Like
100%.
There's nothing that could replace. Like there's nothing that can give you that. I don't know. I don't even know what it's. It's like an energy.
Right.
Yeah, that street.
You have to grow up in the hood to get that, and if you don't grow up in the hood to get that.
Ain't gonna get it nowhere.
And I think that's Tommy's issue with Braden. Because Tommy grew up in the hood, wilding.
Right.
And Braden, he just loves this shit. But that love is real too. Love is real too. But but it's just like, if you didn't grow up in the hood, it's certain things that you go through in the hood that is like, yo.
You don't go through it no
right.
Else,
you can't get it anywhere, bro.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, you're 100% right. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. But that's just what I think. What I think.
No, bro. No, you're 100% right.
Though,
you're 100% right.
I want to see a celebrity boxing match. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going
to
lie.
You don't want that smoke. I want Mike and Meech in a celebrity boxing match.
Oh!
Niggas don't want that.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's get it. Let's do it. Who got me? Line them up. I got Mike against anybody. Let's do it. We're gonna fight. We'll go me. The power universe. Yo, that would be OD. A whole power universe. If 50 sees this, his wheels are gonna start spinning. He's gonna be like, this is 50 gonna be like, he's gonna be watching this like this.
He gonna call Renee. Yo, these little niggas on the podcast talking about they wanna fight. We gonna have a boxing match at the Tycoon Miami Boxing.
All right, let's get into some fan questions and we'll get y'all out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you kind of already covered this, but who is Ann Reyes said, what was your favorite scene you were a part of?
When we set Dre on fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's up between that, and it was the scene with me and Omar, who played Spanky, where we did like a drive-by in broad day. Like, we killed, the dude's name was Lorenzo.
Damn.
Yeah, but we killed him in broad day. We just saw, we like, Dre was beefing with him. Mm. And I saw him, and then we did a drive by broad day, lit him up. That shit was mad.
That's fire.
Slick shot that.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Slick, man.
Coach,
I love working
Coach
with Slick.
Coach wrote that episode.
That's tough. And yeah. Shout out to Omar Scoggins too, man. That plays Spanky. Yeah, I fuck with Omar OD.
Jersey, he from Jersey. Man,
fire. What's the next question we got from the real K Bunny? She said, "What was your favorite and least favorite thing about your character?"
I love everything about my character. There's no least favorite. I love everything about my character. Because think about it. What's your least favorite thing about yourself?
That's
like, you know what I'm saying? So when I get into character, it's like a person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do you dislike yourself?
Yeah, in fact, it's like, that's a good ass answer. You know what I'm saying? That's a good ass answer.
What's your favorite thing about 2Bit?
All right, so like my favorite thing about 2Bit is that he, after he lined Spanky up to get killed, right? And then he went to go visit his moms and take care of his mom, make sure his mom's good. So like my favorite thing is he stands on what he believes in his
in
word.
The streets.
Yeah, like you know what I'm saying? So even though he killed you,
he's still gonna make sure mommy good.
Yeah, he did the right thing. He does the right thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? He stands on that.
So that's real.
I think that's dope.
That's tough because he took care of business like on the street side.
It's not easy.
And then like he became like he went back to being a human, like, oh, your son, like. Cause at the end of the day, y'all, you was cool with Spanky. And you knew his moms and all of that. So at the end of the day, you still gotta go back and like. Damn, that's actually hard.
Right? It's hard to kill him too.
Hell yeah.
It was hard to make that call to Tommy to kill him, but it's like
the old rat's gotta die.
That's the code that they move on. So it's like, yo, it was hard, but it was like, yo, this had you know what you was doing, bro. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And during season 6, when they were in the holding cell, 2Bit was trying to figure it out, and Spanky's like, nah, it was Tommy, because he ratted on Tommy. He ratted on Tommy, so he's trying to convince 2Bit, like, yo, it was Tommy that did this, and I'm like, and 2Bit was like, yo, nah, it was Dre. And he figured it out, and Spanky was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, like,
yo, it really was Dre.
Spanky was like, hold on.
He already ratted. He already did this. It's like,
Damn.
2Bit just didn't know.
Yeah.
Damn, it's already done.
All right, Jimaru _Boorun. Just make it easier for us. What action has your character done? What action your character has done would you go back and change if you could? Is there anything that 2Bit did in the show that you would like to change or no?
Yeah. I remember one time outside of the warehouse with Dre, they had an argument and Dre like kind of played him. He called him Francis.
Oh, I remember that scene.
Now that he's like, yo, then he was a rat talking crazy like that. Mm-hmm. Blew his head off right then and there.
Yeah. He ain't blow Dre head off right there.
Blew his head off right then and there.
Yeah, nah, Francis is crazy. I ain't gonna lie.
Francis is crazy.
He was trying to talk crazy. That's OD. Ashley Ann Love, she says, do you relate to your character? If so, how? And if not, where did you get the inspiration from?
I relate to him, but a lot of people, when they see me on the street, they call me 2Bit and they think I'm 2Bit. I'm not really 2Bit. Like, he's to me, Courtney. I remember one time I asked Courtney, I said, yo, what's 2Bit's real name? Because as I studied acting, like, your name really, like, the name of a character really means something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what I learned from studying acting. So it's like, what's his real name? And she said, I don't know. You can name him. So I'm like, all right. So then I named him Francis Johnson, and I named him after Frank Matthews, like a big gangster from New York. Yes. And then I named him Johnson, off of Ellsworth Bumpy Johnson.
Bumpy Johnson, yeah.
Exactly. So it's like two New York big black gangsters. So it's like, um, that's where I felt like, yo, then so Tupid is not me because I'm already giving them that.
Right.
And then a lot of people that I knew and that I did research on, I did a bunch of research for this character. And then just growing up, the people that I encountered growing up, I felt like had an influence.
Right.
On 2Bit, but so I guess I don't know if that answers the question, but
100%, yeah, you around the people, you know, people you grew up and you kind of made yourself a little bit of story too. It's kind of a little bit of both,
right?
You related
right.
and you didn't relate, and brought
exactly. So it's like so certain parts I relate, and the other parts like nah, I'm not like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fine.
Bro, thank you so much. Heck. That was an incredible episode, bro. Like, you brought the context out from everything. Yeah. Like, we definitely want to have you back,
and
bro. Now,
I will be back.
And he said we sent up the celebrity boxing match. He came with the energy.
I'm with it. Just line them up. Just pick somebody. I'm with it. I'll be on an undercard. Let's get it.
Bro, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck shooting the movie. Break a leg.
Hell yeah, go crazy.
And I'll be back.
Plug everything that you got. Instagram, socials, all that.
Oh, I just got Instagram. That's it. @MichaelJFerguson. That's it. You know what I'm saying?
The boy is working.
Yeah.
Make sure y'all look out for that movie that he got coming out very soon.
Yeah.
Hell.
Well, we're going to shoot it soon.
They shooting it soon. Yeah, it's going to come out a little
year.
Later.
Yeah, next year. Probably.
But he's going to shoot it soon, so he's going to be working. Y'all going to see him on the stories.
Mikey?
Michael Rennie Jr. on Instagram, Twitter, Where's22 on Instagram, /TikTok. And the crew has it. Wait, no, we're not done yet. I can't give them the crew has it yet. You gotta do your thing.
At Gianni V. Paolo, Instagram, TikTok. Go like all of my posts that were on the Shade Room this week. And that's pretty much it, you know. Give us one, Mike.
Listen, man, the crew has it, baby. Yes, sir.
The crew has it.
Michael J. Ferguson.
Hey, you
in
have
the
it. Thank you.
Building.
We appreciate it, bro.
Yeah.
Yes,
good sir. Shit.
Nah, that.
Thank you so much, bro. We appreciate you. You crushed that shit.
Nah, that episode was
fire, bro.